Earlier this year, the Carnegie Foundation and American Council on Education introduced a new classification for colleges and universities. It's called Opportunity Colleges and Universities. The new Opportunity classification compares institutions across similar criteria, including rates of graduating students who go on to successful wealth-generating careers in the regions where they live and work. Nearly 500 institutions across the nation received this new opportunity classification. Rogue Community College was the only Oregon public institution of higher education to receive it. Joining the exchange to help us learn more is RCC President Dr. Randy Weber. Welcome to the exchange.
Mike, thanks for having me. I always enjoy coming on with you and your guests.
Glad to have you back. So tell me about this classification rating.
Yeah, so the Carnegie Foundation has for decades classified institutions, and oftentimes we're familiar with like regional institutions or doctoral institutions or community colleges. And after about 40, 50 years of doing it, they realize that those aren't representative so much as what they used to be because we have institutions offering different degree types. And so they came out and said, well, we need to modernize our classifications. And in doing so, we want to especially identify schools that should serve as models and are providing opportunity to for both access and student success and increased earnings. And that's how they identified the classification for opportunity class colleges and universities. And RCC is proud. It's a three-year designation until they reclassify. So RCC is proud to serve as Oregon's first and only public higher ed institution to receive the classification in the inaugural time.
That's awesome. So what's the criteria?
So the criteria is that the institution is as or more representative than its community when you look at community makeup in age, race, ethnicity, as well as income levels. So you might think of like private institutions might be very selective in their and who they bring into their institution, and it may be less reflective than its community. So that's part of it is that we call that the access component, that the access for the community it serves. But then also the opportunity is that it provides the earnings potential. And so in order to be considered, your former students need to make at or more than 25% of the median income for the region. And so we were identified as being as or more accessible than our community. And for our former students to be earning greater than 25% of the median range in our region.
So is there any particular data that was submitted by the university to the Carnegie Foundation and the American Council on Education that they considered, or did they just go and find this information on their own?
Yeah, they do this classification through data sets that they have access to. So okay. we submit as part of our regular compliance and regulatory annual submissions, and then they are able to scrub through that to determine their outcomes that they're assessing here. So we were just made aware by them of this great distinction, and we didn't have to submit anything to be considered.
Wow. So I understand that 400 and some odd universities and colleges were considered or extended this classification across the nation. How were you notified?
Yeah, so we were notified, and actually I was out of the country when members of my team were notified, and it was kind of an embargoed thing that they had shared with our media and our data retrieval team and said kind of a heads up, we're going to announce this in a couple weeks. And so when they did that, we had that advanced knowledge, but then they did a media release, and we – an email, and so then likewise we followed up with a media release of our own to try to help the community. But because it's a first time and it's unique, it's a little tricky story to tell and get out there. So that's why we appreciate these opportunities to help our community learn that, you know, while there often are questions around the value proposition of going to post-secondary education, that, you know, our efforts to make sure that people who are receiving education at RCC, it's leading to good paying jobs in our region and that it's accessible to members of our community. This is an external evaluator with a tremendous reputation putting that stamp of recognition on there.
Well, it's very interesting that you track your graduates and their earning potential. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, and so I will tell you, we work closely with the state, and we continue to try to do more because historically, a lot of the earnings tracking that is done for completers. So students who complete programs, you might think nursing programs or CDL, a lot of programs that require a credential or an associate's degree that leads to transfer. In our region, we continue to work with industry to try to determine what credentials are important for a workforce, like what skills do you want for a skilled workforce? And one of our challenges we've faced historically is that a number of jobs will hire students without a full credential. They want them to come get a couple skills, maybe in manufacturing, come learn some welding skills and how to use CAD, and then you can get a job for us. And it doesn't require a credential, but those are the unique skills. So we often put students in the workplace without an earned credential. And this, the cool thing about this recognition is that they were able to go in and see those earning statistics and do all former students, not necessarily all completers. And that's been a hiccup for RCC for a while, is that we continue to work with our industry to try, because we know the value of having a credential grows exponentially over time for students, but a lot of our workers in the Valley need jobs now. And so a lot of our efforts have been to try to balance both workforce and skills training. We work with employers. We've worked with students. We've changed our models a lot. So people can, we call it, they can learn while they earn.
Right. So you're not only a training pipeline, but you're an education pipeline as well. So let me remind my audience that my guest is Roe Community College President Dr. Randy Weber. RCC is the only Oregon public institution of higher education to be recognized with the special classification of Opportunity College. So, Dr. Weber, how would this new recognition help RCC attract students?
Yeah, so one of the main things that we try to tackle in our region is participation in post-secondary education, that we are in the low 40s in rankings and individuals, particularly at a high school, who go directly to college or university. And that's something that we're working with our partners at SOU and others in the region, Klamath and OIT a little bit, to try to say, how do we increase the value proposition of going to college or university? And so what this does is, this is an endorsement saying it's worth your investment of time, your investment of finances, of resources, whatever you have to balance in life to pursue this education, because this education leads to better earnings, better lifestyle. And that's kind of the key thing, is with what we're going through right now, trying to get people to understand that, you know, post-secondary education isn't the only way to a better life, but I will still argue it's the best way to a better life, and trying to get people to understand that those skills training, the jobs that are needed for tomorrow in our region are, you know, over 71%, according to a Georgetown study, are going to need some form of post-secondary education, and that means like post-high school. And whether it's training, certificate, skills, degrees, that we need people to understand the value of seeking that.
I have to say I'm a bit surprised. And the reason I'm surprised is because we live in an age of technology. Kids, you know, elementary school kids are growing up on technology. I would have thought that throughout K-12 education, throughout the experience of a student, by the time they get to being a senior in high school, they would know that in order to ascertain, achieve their dreams of whatever comfortable lifestyle they want in whatever career fields they want to pursue, they're going to need that additional training, that additional education. I would have thought that we would have a much higher percentage of students leaving high school and going directly into some level of higher education than 40%.
Well, so no, it's higher than, I think that, so we're ranked in the low 40s of the 50 states. So the percentage, okay, I think is at or a little bit lower than 60%. And in, it's like different districts in our region have a higher participation out of high school than others. But yeah, so that's our ranking, not our percentage. Thanks for following up with that, for that, so we can provide that clarification. But really, I think part of it is set into our region, because if you think historically of Oregon, Oregon's economy strongly was built on natural resources. For generations, you could go into the woods and make a good living and provide for you and your family. You could go into the the fields and make a good living. And while timber and agriculture are still a critical part of who we are and what we do, our future economy is going to be dependent upon a different skilled workforce. And I would say that that reality isn't as obvious as we would hope everybody would think it is. And that's part of our efforts that we're trying to do in the region is help people understand the future economy in Southern Oregon is in a required different skill sets than what the historical economy has.
What are some of the growth stage industry sectors here?
Yeah, well, you know, I can tell you, I'm looking at the top five fastest jobs in Oregon in the next, or in Southern Oregon in the next 5 years, and the top two by far are healthcare support and healthcare professionals. Mm-hmm. And so those, I mean, that's like 2,400 of the 3,000 jobs that are growing. It's that dramatic. Then you see some manufacturing, transportation, hospitality industry a little bit, as well as sales and that. And so our job is to work with those industries and say, what are the skills and trainings that you need? And so, for example, we've done work with Providence and Asante to add a nursing cohort because we need more nurses in the region, and that's helping us produce another 24 RNs on top of the 32 we already were annually. We just worked with Providence to add and Lynn Benton Community College to add surgical tech training in the region because that's been desperately needed. So a lot of it has been in allied health, but we're really scratching the surface on manufacturing and transportation as well because we know the transportation sector is a key area with the I-5 corridor. And what we've got going on here. So working with partnerships there, we've got a big construction project underway to update our transportation training in both Jackson and Josephine counties.
So what is RCC doing in K-12 to help stand out, I guess I would say, as a unique value proposition in the minds of high school students?
What we do in K-12 is we really try to help our K-12 students earn what we call dual credit. So learning that they're doing in high school is helping them narrow that gap of belief, like, gee whiz, could I ever go to college? And when they walk away from high school with college credits already because of learning they've done, that's powerful. So in some classes, whether it's what we call general transfer, so humanities, math, there's dual credit set up that they can get through their high school that teaches the college course outcomes. But then in a lot of their CTE, their career and technical courses like automotive and welding, we do CNA training in some of the school districts. We're starting a cohort of dental assisting with Grants Pass School District next fall. We have Fridays where Three Rivers School District doesn't teach classes, where they bus students to our school. And first year we had a little over 40 students. This year we had 80 students from Three Rivers School District coming to RCC on Fridays. And that's a district that has historically not had good participation rates, but now they're already coming to college while they're in high school. So there's examples of that. We've really grown with what we've done with Medford. We've talked with Ashland about adding CTE offerings. So we've really focused our efforts in connecting with K-12 over the last couple of years. And a lot of our recent growth, we've been the fastest growing school in the state over the last 3 years. A lot of our growth is attributable to the work we do with workforce, but also with K-12 connections.
So one of the things that we talk about is increased earnings potential with that degree. But as you correctly pointed out, that just the skills alone, as you're on your way to earning that degree, can increase your earnings potential. On average, what do you think that translates to?
Yeah, so we intentionally do a lot of what we call stackable credentials because I think one of the things we've identified in our region is that a lot of people can't put off work to go to school. Yeah. And so whether it's short time, long term, so with our stackable credentials, people can get some credential, work in the industry. So we might see that in healthcare they get a CNA, they work as a CNA for a little while. Then they're able to come and get their nursing degree. They work as a dental assistant. Now they can come become a dental hygienist. Both of those increase earnings by about probably 40 to 50% once they earn that degree and have that greater skill. But that holds true in manufacturing and transportation as well. I can get a basic certificate where I learn how to work on maybe transmissions and brakes, but now I want to learn to work on, you know, diesel components. So again, these are people who are already working in the industry, and that's what we're seeing with workforce is now they're investing. They're like, I've already got people who show up to work on time. They work well with others, but they have limited skills. How can I work with RCC to increase their skills?
Well, it sounds sounds like as an opportunity college, you're increasing economic mobility.
Yeah, and that's the core of what we do. Our mission is to provide access and to exemplary education to lead to stronger economic growth and better lives.
Okay, well, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Dr. Weber.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.